A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a shield appears with the letters WB and the inscription Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated presents. In a black and white film, titles appear against a map of the Caribbean islands. Humphrey Bogart as Captain Harry Morgan. In Ernest Hemingway's To Have and Have Not. A Howard Hawks production. With Walter Brennan as Eddie and Lauren Bacall as Slim. Featuring Dolores Morgan, Hoagy Carmichael, Sheldon Leonard, and others. This film is described for visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Robin Sitton and Christina Faust. Descriptions read by Margot Stage. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education. Titles conclude. Screenplay by Jules Firthman and William Faulkner. Copyright 1944. Directed by Howard Hawks. Words appear. Martinique in the summer of 1940, shortly after the fall of France. Our view closes in on the Caribbean map to an island's western port, Fort de France. Now, a man strolls along a pier toward a marine police kiosk. He speaks to the uniformed officer inside.
Morning.
Good morning, Captain Morgan. What can I do for you today?
Same thing as yesterday.
You and your client wish to make a temporary exit from the port?
That is right.
The officer fills out papers.
Name?
Harry Morgan.
Nationality?
Eskimo.
What?
American.
Name a ship?
Queen Conch, Key West, Florida. We're going fishing, same as we've been doing every day for over 2 weeks. We'll be back tonight, and I don't think we'll go more than 30 miles offshore.
Fireplanes, please. One more thing. You will go nowhere near the vicinity of territorial waters, Saint Lucie or La Dominique.
That a new order?
Yes, the decree was issued last night by His Excellency Admiral Robert, Governor General of the French West Indies.
Oh, good for him.
Were any complaints?
No.
The thin captain, Harry Morgan, continues down the pier, past dark-skinned islanders fishing and unloading boats. He wears a weathered cap tilted over his narrow face and loose-fitting dungarees. At the end of the pier, he spots an older man lying asleep on a pile of fishing nets. Harry impatiently hitches up his belt, then picks up an empty beer bottle off the pier. Tightening his lips, he tosses the bottle in the harbor. The sleeping man lies still, his hands tucked in the waistband of his grimy khakis. Harry fills a bucket with seawater and douses him. The sailor opens his eyes.
Oh, hello, Harry. How's everything? Feels good.
The stoop-shouldered man gets up.
Did you bring me a drink?
Horatio's bringing it.
You're my pal, Harry. You sure got him this morning.
We got him every morning.
Not last Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. You're right, Eddie. Oh, here's Horatio. Give him a hand, will you?
Good morning, mon capitaine.
Good morning. You get the bait?
Yes, sir. Plenty of it.
Eddie helps the stocky islander Horatio carry a case of beer on board.
That guard took a bottle of our beer.
That's all right. Mr. Johnson can afford it.
Harry, can I have
just one?
A man in safari clothes joins them.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Johnson.
Well, we going out?
No, it's up to you.
What sort of a day will it be?
Well, I don't know, just about like yesterday, only better.
Let's go out then.
Okay, hop aboard.
As Johnson steps onto the deck, he eyes Eddie with a dubious frown.
Oh, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah.
I gotta get some gas.
All right.
Yeah, well, I'll need money for that.
How much?
28 cents a gallon, 40 gallons, that'll be $11.20.
There's $15.
I'll get you some change at the gas shop.
Never mind, put it against what I owe you.
Let it go.
Gripping the helm, Harry slowly backs his fishing boat away from the pier. The Queen Conch has a 30-foot hull and a simple wooden canopy over its cabin. At the stern, a fisherman's chair sits behind a semicircular railing. Johnson takes a seat under the canopy and puffs a fat cigar. A banded pith helmet shades his pudgy face. Later at sea, Johnson reclines in the stern chair, harnessed to a fishing rod. He stares lazily at the water. Harry glances over his shoulder at Eddie, who sleeps fitfully on a deck bench. As Harry's focus shifts out to sea, he spots something splashing among the dark waves.
Watch it, Johnson. Make your strike.
A fin cuts the surface.
Put on a little more drag. Not too much. You're going to have to sock him. He's going to jump anyway. I'll hit him again now. Hit him 3 or 4 times. Stick it into him.
Johnson yanks back hard on his fishing reel. A sword-nosed marlin leaps out of the water, twisting violently at the end of the line.
Better get the other teaser in.
I got him!
He's up on that drive.
He's gone! No, he's not. He's up on that drive. Quick!
Johnson lets out more line.
He wants to go. Let him go.
As the fish races toward the horizon, it porpoises in graceful arcs from wave to wave.
He's gone.
Nice hook, good.
He sure is.
You reel him in.
No, I'm sure he's gone.
I'll tell you when he's gone. Reel him set.
Johnson yanks again and bucks in his chair. Harry cuts the engine.
Well, he's gone now.
Yes, sir. He's gone now.
No, he isn't. Turn around and chase him.
Reel in that line.
I can still feel him pull.
The weight of the line.
He's crazy. I can hardly reel it in. Maybe he's dead.
Maybe, but he's still jumping out there.
The marlin swims free, 100 feet off the stern. Later, while Horatio slices up fish for bait, Harry ties 2 pieces of line together.
Come on, hurry up.
How about you, Mr. Johnson?
Can't you put bait on like that, Captain?
Sure, I can.
They carry this fellow to do it for.
Well, when the big fish run, you'll see why.
The idea.
You do it faster than I can.
$1 a day seems like an unnecessary expense to me.
He's necessary. Aren't you, Horatio?
I hope so.
Can't Eddie do it?
Eddie wakes up.
No, he can't.
What's the matter?
He's lost the fish.
Mr. Johnson, you're unlucky.
Say, Harry, would it be all right if I...
In the icebox, just take one.
I don't see why you want that rummy around.
Eddie was a good man on a boat before he got to be a rummy.
At least no good now.
Darn it, going ahead.
Is he related to you or something?
Nope.
What do you look after him for?
He thinks he's looking after me. All right, let her run.
Eddie climbs out of the galley with a foaming bottle of beer. He takes 2 deep gulps, shudders, then walks back to the stern. With 1 more gulp, he empties the bottle, then chucks it overboard.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah?
You mind if I ask you a question?
Look, it might interest you to know that I not only bought the beer, but I put a deposit on the bottles.
Oh, you ever bit by a dead bee?
Dead what?
A dead honeybee.
I was never bit by any kind of a bee.
You sure?
Yes, of course, I'm sure.
In that case, I'll just finish my nap. Thanks for the beer, Mr. Johnson.
Watch that line.
As Johnson tries to clip the rod to his harness, it jerks out of his hands.
Oh!
He falls over the back of the chair into Horatio's arms.
Well, that's enough for one day.
What happened?
Nothing. You just lost the rod and reel, that's all. You had the drag screwed down tight again. When the fish struck, you couldn't hold him.
If you had the harness buckled onto the reel, that fish would have taken you along with him.
You're just unlucky, Mr. Johnson. Now, maybe you're lucky with women. What do you say if we go out tonight?
He backhands Eddie. Harry grabs him.
Mr. Johnson, are you a good swimmer?
I've taken all I'm going to take.
Oh, you better be careful you don't slip out of my hands.
Take it easy, Harry. This guy owes you for 16 days.
15.
Harry lets Johnson go and walks back to the helm. Eddie shuffles to his side and places his hand on the captain's shoulder.
You talk too much, Eddie.
I know it, Harry.
His jaw hangs slack.
Okay, forget it.
Grinning, Eddie affectionately pats Harry's shoulder. Later, the Queen Conch returns to the harbor. On the bow, Horatio gestures to a fisherman to throw him the mooring rope. Johnson wipes grime from his hands as he steps from the boat. Harry braces 1 foot on the pier and watches his crew moor up.
What about tomorrow?
I don't think so. I'm fed up with this kind of fishing.
Yeah, I can see how you would be. Slack that off a little. You fish for 16 days, hook into a couple of fish that any good fisherman would give his life to tie into and lose them both.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, you're just unlucky. I never seen no one...
You said 16 days. I only owe you for 15.
No, but today it's 16, and then there's a rod and reel.
Tackle's your risk.
Not when you lose it the way you did.
I pay for the rent of it every day. The tackle's your risk,
look,
I tell you.
If you hired a car and ran it over a cliff, you'd have to pay for it.
Not if he was in it, Harry. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good, Eddie. Now, you lost the outfit through carelessness. Cost me $275. I won't charge you for the line because a fish that big could have taken it all anyway. And there's 16 days at 35 a day. That's 560. No, it's 560, Eddie. You got a little credit, so that'll be $825 altogether. That's what you owe me, and that's what I want.
Well, I haven't got that much with me. I'll go at the bank in the morning. That'd be all right?
I guess it'll have to be.
Well, let's go and have a drink.
That's a good idea,
Mr. Stay here and lock up.
You sure you don't...
No, Eddie.
Johnson points at a tricolored French flag.
Hey, look there. I thought everybody took the flag in after 6 o'clock.
Well, most of them do.
That's Vichy for you.
It's their flag.
They pass two men who overhear them. One scowls, flicks his cigarette away, and falls into step behind Harry and Johnson. Dressed in a linen suit and boater hat, the mustached man follows them across the town square.
Pardonnez-moi. Gentlemen, may I have your names?
What for?
I heard this gentleman make a disparaging reference to Vichy.
Well, I never said anything about Vichy, did I?
I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention.
Your names, please.
Now, look, we're American.
His name's Johnson. My name's Morgan. We're living over at the Marquis Hotel. That do you?
Merci beaucoup.
The Frenchman bows slightly as they walk away. Harry hooks his jacket over his shoulder, and the two men stride into the hotel's cafe. They head for the bar.
Yes, sir?
What's yours?
Bourbon.
Bourbon and a rum for me.
Well, gentlemen, what luck today?
Not so good, Frenchie.
Oh, we lost the biggest fish I ever saw.
Well, maybe tomorrow you hook him again.
Not me, I'm through. This is my last day.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Here's to you.
Johnson swallows his liquor in one gulp, then pushes back the glass.
Well, I'm going to clean up. Oh, that was
825.
825.
Oh, Johnson.
Yeah?
What time tomorrow morning?
Oh, after I get the bags, say around 10:30, 11 o'clock?
I'll be waiting for you.
Frenchie joins Harry at the bar.
Any trouble, Harry?
No, Frenchie.
Then you are free after today.
Yeah, why?
There were some people in here today. They wanted to hire you both.
Fishermen?
No, some friends of mine.
Harry grins knowingly.
Not a chance.
He walks off toward the front desk, and Frenchie follows.
Bonjour, monsieur.
The kids, you.
Thank you.
Please, listen to me, Harry. They only want to use your boat for one night. They'll pay you well.
For what? I'd like to oblige you, Frenchie, but I can't afford to get mixed up in your local politics.
They would not speak if it weren't important. Please, can I go with you to your room?
Sure, come ahead.
The two men hurry up a flight of stairs to the first floor, where Harry unlocks the corner door. Across the hall, a young woman comes out of her room. Her broad-shouldered suit accentuates her slender figure. Harry leaves his door open and looks for something among his fishing tackle.
Anybody got a match?
The slender woman leans in the doorway, a cigarette stuck between her full lips. Harry tosses her a matchbox and she catches it one-handed. Dressed in a tailored suit and carrying a beret, she strikes a match, then locks Harry in a flat stare. She throws the spent match over her shoulder, then throws back the box.
Thanks.
Frenchie shuts the door.
Who's that?
She came in this afternoon, the plane from the south.
Harry chuckles to himself.
Yeah, now look, Frenchie, about that other thing. I know where you stand and what your sympathies are. Well, it's all right for you, but I don't want any part of it. They catch me fooling around with you fellas, and my goose will be cooked. Probably lose my boat, too. I ain't that interested.
But they are coming to see you tonight.
Yeah, well, you better get word to them.
Please.
Now, they'll just be wasting their time. Sorry. I'll see you later.
Downstairs, the hotel cafe bustles with visitors. Naval officers chat in one corner while a young black couple flirts. Harry Morgan sits alone at a table in the center of the room. A As he lights an after-dinner cigarette, he spots the slender woman having drinks with Johnson. She sips from her glass as she gazes across the room at Harry.
Am I blue? Am I blue?
A music combo plays behind her, crowded around a baby grand piano.
Am I blue? You'd be too. If each plan with your man done fell through.
The woman turns in her chair to watch the band. Then Johnson runs his hand along her jacket sleeve.
But now I...
With a deliberate stare, she removes his touch.
Lonely one, so lonely.
Getting up, she walks to the piano and leans on it.
Till today.
The band leader, a skinny, long-armed now fellow with a long, bulbous nose, nods to her.
Am I...
Take over.
Was a time I was his only one. But now I... The sad and lonely one.
She catches Harry's eye and he cracks a smile.
Was I gay? Till today. Till today. Now she's gone and we're through, baby. Ooh, am I blue? Am I blue?
Johnson gestures, first to himself, then outside, then back at the piano. He leaves the cafe. Across the room, Frenchie finds Harry.
Harry, I tried to reach those fellows, but I can't get in contact with them.
Who's that, the ones who want to hire my boat?
It is dangerous enough for them to come here, too, but to come here for nothing.
Well, I didn't ask to see him. Better head him off.
Harry fixes his eyes on the woman, who returns to Johnson's table for a moment, then leaves the cafe with an easygoing wave to the band. As she moves through the crowd at the bar, her smoldering gaze darts to Harry. He follows her. The woman's hard calves flex as her high-heeled shoes climb the stairs. Harry catches up to her on the landing outside their rooms. Her wide-set eyes meet his in a confident stare.
Hello?
Let's have it.
What do you want?
Johnson's wallet.
What?
Come on.
What are you talking about?
He takes her arm.
Say, mister, what's got into you?
Harry brings her to his own room, turns on the light, and steers her inside. Shutting the door behind them, he locks it.
What do you think you're going to do?
He pockets the key.
I'm going to get that wallet, Slim.
I'd rather you wouldn't call me Slim. I'm a little too skinny to take it kindly.
Quit the baby talk.
Toe to toe, he stares her down.
Which is it?
You know, Steve, I wouldn't put it past you. I didn't know you were a hotel detective.
She takes the wallet from her bosom.
Johnson's my client.
He doesn't speak so well of you.
Well, he's still my client. You ought to pick on somebody to steal from that doesn't owe me money.
He dropped it, and I picked it up.
Well, you were going to give it back to him, of course.
No. No, I wasn't. I don't like him.
That's a pretty good reason.
Besides, I need boat fare to get out of Martinique.
That's another good reason, but you'll have to get it from somebody else. How do you like that?
Find anything?
About $60-odd dollars in cash and about $1,400 in traveler's checks.
You expect more?
That bird owed me $825. I haven't got that much on me, he says. I'll have to go to the bank and pay you off tomorrow, he says. And all the time he's got a reservation on a plane leaving tomorrow morning at daylight.
So he was going to skip out on you. Your client.
Good thing you didn't give it back to him.
And I did you a favor.
That's right. But if I hadn't stopped you, you'd have gotten away with the whole works. After all, I am entitled to something. Don't you think so, Slim?
He hands her a cigarette.
What do you think's fair?
She inhales deeply as he lights it.
I'll leave that to you.
Oh, what would you say to...
Harry opens the door to Frenchie and four other men. A thin man with wavy hair leads the pack.
Wow.
Please, Harry, I told them, but he insisted
on... It is not Gerard's fault, Mr. Morgan. Come in and close the door.
The men remove their hats.
You know, I told Frenchie I wasn't interested.
I know. But close the door, please.
Keeping his eye on the Frenchman, Harry shuts the door.
I'm very sorry to intrude this way, Mr. Morgan, but this is a matter of great importance to us, and we've...
Another man notices Slim.
I'd better go.
She saunters past them to the door.
See you later.
Stick around. We're not through yet. It's all right to talk in front of her, isn't it, Slim?
Go ahead.
But it won't do you any good.
If you'll only use...
You boys are even taking a chance coming here.
We're not afraid.
Well, I am. I'm sorry, I can't do it, and I won't do it.
We'll give you 2,500 francs.
Oh, that's only 50 bucks in American money.
It is more to us.
But it's only a little voyage to a place about 40 kilometers from here.
We would give you more money, but we haven't got it.
It's all we have. Oh,
boys, don't make me feel bad. I tell you true, I can't do it.
Afterwards, when things are changed, it would mean a good deal to you.
Yes, I know.
Mr. Morgan, I thought all Americans were friendly to our side.
Well, that's right, they are. But you see, there's a rumor going around that they put fellas on Devil's Island for doing what you're doing. I'm not that friendly to anybody.
But they wouldn't do that to an American.
Mother, do you really think that? Who's that?
It's me, Harry.
It's all right.
Eddie squeezes through the doorway.
Hi, Harry. How you been keeping?
Oh, hello, Eddie.
Say, Harry, I wanted to talk to you
about... Mr. Morgan, could we continue?
Who are you? Who are these guys, Harry?
Eddie's a friend of mine.
He was hanging around the dock after you left.
You've got a good memory for one who drinks.
Drinking don't bother my memory. If it did, I wouldn't drink. I couldn't. You see, I'd forget how good it was, then where'd I be? Start drinking water again.
Maybe you'd forget about water, too.
No, I wouldn't. I see too much of it. Say, was you ever bit by a dead bee?
I have no memory of ever being bit by any kind of bee.
Were you?
You're all right, lady. You and Harry's the only one that ever...
Frenchie.
That's right. You and Harry and Frenchie. You know, you got to be careful of dead bees if you're going around barefooted. Because if you step on them, they can sting you just as bad as if they was alive. Especially if they was kind of mad when they get killed. I bet I've been bit 100 times that way.
You have? Why don't you bite them back?
Eddie's eyes sparkle.
That's what Harry always says. But I ain't got no stinger.
Does he always talk so much?
Always. What do you want to see me about, Eddie?
I guess I forgot.
That's all right. I'll see you down at the dock later on tonight.
Say, Harry, could you?
Harry gives him a coin.
Thanks. You're all right. So long.
Sorry. Now, look, boys, we could stay at this all night and the answer'd still be the same.
Mr. Morgan, I don't
care who runs France or Martinique or who wants to run it. You'll have to get somebody else. Come on, Slim. We still got some unfinished business.
Night.
Make yourselves home, boys. Cigarettes on the table over there.
Alone, they stop outside Slim's room. Harry takes out Johnson's wallet.
I want to see Johnson's face when you give it back to him.
All right.
In the cafe, Johnson has another drink at his table. Scowling, he scans the crowd of faces, then notices Harry and Slim coming down the stairs. Pushing between the closely packed tables, Johnson meets up with them at the bar.
Where you been? I've been looking all over for you. You're a fine one running off with my girl.
She's got something she wants to give you. Go ahead, Slim.
Here's your wallet.
Johnson pats his own pockets.
How'd you get it?
I stole it.
That's a fine thing. What are you going to do about it?
Question is, what are you going to do about it, Mr. Johnson? You better look it over and see if it's all there.
Oh, it's all right, I'm sure.
No, you check it over. She might want a receipt for it.
Slim cocks a smile.
It's all right. There's nothing missing.
You sure?
Yeah. Now, young lady,
you better count those traveler's checks.
I know. There's $1,400.
Yeah, but you had to go to the bank tomorrow.
Well,
what the time on that plane ticket you got there?
6:30.
In the morning. And the bank opens at 10.
Slim strikes a match just as Harry gets out a cigarette. She lights its tip, then blows out the flame.
I don't like him any better than you do.
Well, now look, Mr. Morgan, I was going to...
You were going to sign some of those traveler's checks, weren't you?
Yeah, sure.
Emile, you got a pen handy?
Certainement, monsieur.
Frenchie's guests march downstairs. Harry pulls Slim out of the way as the French partisans stride through the cafe. He eyes them until they pass, then returns to business with Johnson.
825.
Yeah.
Allez-vous! Stay where you are!
Out on the street, the partisans scatter. Harry throws Slim to the floor. Frenchie races to the entrance, then ducks back inside as bullets riddle the cafe's shuttered door.
Hey. Stay where you are.
I think I was sitting on somebody's cigarette.
She pulls a butt out from under her and pitches it aside. On the street, the partisans duck behind an ice wagon. A man in the shadows fires a machine gun and one of the partisans drops. Another hops into the wagon seat and drives off, with a third man clinging to the wagon as it flees. A heavy man in a white suit and a black beret waves his arm, and a car chases the partisans into the night. In the cafe.
Harry, this is awful.
Did I get them all?
One got away at least. I think it was Beauclair. Look, Harry, this is bad, but no one but me knows that you two saw them.
And Eddie, but he probably won't remember.
When the police come, you know nothing. Nothing. You realize, mademoiselle.
Frenchie, don't be a fool. Stay inside.
Members of the band peek out of their hiding places behind the piano as the band leader, Cricket, pounds the keys. A waiter rolls Johnson over and finds a blood stain on his chest.
Mr. Gerard! Mr. Gerard!
Frenchie stops short and stares at the body. Harry shifts his eyes toward the band.
Cut it out, Cricket.
Harry drops to one knee and pulls the traveler's checks from Johnson's clenched hand. He flips through them.
Couldn't ride any faster than he could duck. Another minute and these checks would have been good.
Searching Johnson's pockets, he finds the wallet again and folds the checks inside it. A police officer enters.
Stay right where you are and keep quiet. Stay right where you are.
The heavy man looks around the room. Harry, Slim, and Frenchie watch him carefully.
Who's that?
Sûreté Nationale.
Gestapo, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, isn't there?
A bodyguard trails the rotund police captain, who scrutinizes cafe patrons as he strolls up to the bar. Stopping at Johnson's body, he points and turns to Frenchie.
What happened to this man?
A stray bullet. His name is Johnson, an American.
Unfortunate. Take him away.
Yes, sir.
Captain Renard stands in front of the bar with his lieutenant.
Call attention.
Your attention, everyone!
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm. We're only interested in those persons who have broken the rules laid down for their behavior. We shall pick out certain individuals. Those we do not designate will leave immediately. This place will then remain closed for tonight.
He points to the nearest man.
This man?
Next, he picks Frenchie.
You?
Then walks to the end of the bar where Harry and Slim stand.
You and Mademoiselle.
Renard moves on through the cafe.
Was you ever bit by a dead bee?
Come with me, please.
Eddie walks in, sees the commotion, and walks out. Later, in the captain's office, Slim lounges in a chair, her long legs crossed at the knees, as the police interview Frenchie.
I tell you again, I didn't know those men. They came in for a drink. That's all I know.
You say you never saw these men before?
No.
What are your sympathies, Monsieur Girard?
I'm for France.
That is well. Try to remain so. Let us suggest to Monsieur Girard that the next time suspicious characters enter his place, that he notify us. In that way, he may prevent bloodshed at his doorstep.
I run a public place. How am I to know who is suspicious and who is not?
I think you will know. Good night.
It is on. You may go.
You got all of them?
No, sir. Beauclair and Emile get away.
How?
They jumped up the wagon and ran up an alley.
Search all the places you have on your list.
Yes, sir.
Continue.
And you, Captain Morgan. Did you know these men?
No, I didn't.
You did not see them at all while you were in the cafe?
That's right.
What was your connection with the dead man?
He rented my boat to fish from.
You mean he had rented it? According to the tickets in his wallet, he was to have left Martinique at daylight.
There was no money on him or in his wallet. Only some American traveler's checks. Was that customary with him?
Well, there was $60 in it.
What happened to it?
I took it.
Why?
Because he owed me $825.
So at least you had no reason to kill him, did you?
So it would seem.
But unfortunately for you, someone did, as a result of which you took it on yourself to collect a part of the debt.
That's right.
You have this money now?
Mm-hmm.
If you please.
Renard holds out his hand. Harry takes some folded bills from his pocket, separates them, and hands part of the wad to the captain. He starts to put the rest back.
If you please, Capitan.
This is mine.
How do we know that?
Harry drops it all on the desk.
Thank you. Do not be concerned. This money is impounded by a government which, like your own, is at peace with the world. If your claim is just, it will be discharged. Mademoiselle, that is all for you.
The lieutenant reads Slim's leather-bound passport.
Browning Marie, American, age 22. How long have you been in Fort de France?
I arrived by plane this afternoon.
Residence?
Hotel Marquis.
Where do you come from?
Trinidad, Port of Spain.
And before that, from where, mademoiselle? From home, perhaps?
No, from Brazil, Rio.
Alone?
Yes.
Why did you get off here?
To buy a new hat.
Why?
The lieutenant slaps her.
Hat. Read the label, maybe you'll believe me then.
Her beret.
I never doubted you, mademoiselle. It was only your tone that was objectionable. I'll ask you again. Why did you get off here?
Because I didn't have money enough to go any further.
That's better. Where were you when the shooting occurred?
You don't have to answer that stuff.
Shut up, you.
Don't answer it.
I told you to shut up.
Go ahead, slap me.
Come, Capitan. This is not a brawl. We merely wish to get to the bottom of this affair.
You'll never do it by slapping people around. That's bad luck.
Well, we shall see. If we need to question you further, you will be available at the hotel?
Well, I don't know how I'm going to go anyplace when you got my passport and all my money.
Oh, your passport will be returned to you. As for the money, if it is yours, that will arrange itself in good time.
Would you suggest I see the American consul and have him help you arrange it?
Well, that is your privilege. By the way, what are your sympathies?
Minding my own business?
May I say?
I don't need any advice about continuing to do it either.
Good night, Captain.
Let's get out of this.
As they leave, Renard throws down the wad of folded bills. Harry and Slim step outside onto the rain-misted street.
Say, I don't understand all this. After all, I just got here.
You landed right in the middle of a small war.
What's it all about?
Well, the boys we just left joined with Vichy. You know what that is?
Vaguely.
Well, they got the Navy behind them. I think you saw that carrier in the harbor?
Yeah.
And the other fellas, the ones they were shooting at, they're the Free French. You know what they are.
It's not getting any clearer.
Well, anyway, most of the people on the island, the natives, are patriots. They're for the Gaul, but so far they haven't been able to do much about it.
Harry!
Eddie walks up.
Are we in trouble?
No, Eddie.
Well, I seen them guys pick you up and I was just scared.
Yeah, well, everything's all right. You go on back and get some sleep.
I'd have got you out, Harry. You know me.
Yeah, I know you, Eddie. You go on back to the boat.
Say, Harry, could you...
No.
But...
No more tonight, Eddie. Beat it.
Eddie walks off with a speedy, flat-footed gait. His shoulder hitches up as he approaches a corner.
I could use a drink myself.
Well, we can get one in here.
They enter a club called Bar du Zombie, where islanders and servicemen mingle at round cocktail tables. The bar patrons crane their necks to see a dancer who performs in front of a live band. The dark-skinned woman wears a scoop-necked blouse, a frilled skirt, and a patterned hat. She swings her hips back and forth in a frantic rhythm while beating the air with her arms. Slim and Harry move past her and find a place at the bar.
What do you wish to drink, sir?
What'll it... We're just looking around.
Change your mind?
No money. Those guys cleaned me out.
I forgot, too. Maybe I can do something. It's been a long day, and I'm thirsty.
Her stealthy gaze sweeps the room.
Picked him out yet?
You don't mind, do you?
If you're thirsty, go ahead. If I get tired of waiting, I'll be back at the hotel.
All right.
Tap tapping a cigarette against the back of her hand, Slim prowls among a group of naval officers. One of them strikes a match and she grabs his wrist.
May I?
His friends stare as she lights up.
Thanks.
The officer follows her.
Pardonnez-moi.
Harry laughs and starts to go as couples fill the dance floor around the band. Looking back, he sees Slim and the French officer join the crowd. Slim gives him a long, sly look over the officer's shoulder. Harry grins, then leaves her in the smoky bar. Later, Harry opens the door of his room and finds Slim in the hallway.
Hello?
She shows him a liquor bottle.
Come on in.
Her eyes shining, she saunters in, then shuts the door behind her.
You're sore, aren't you?
Why should I be?
I didn't behave very well, did I?
You did all right. You got the bottle, didn't you?
You're sore, aren't you?
Now, look, get this straight. I don't care.
I know. You don't give a hoop what I do, but when I do it, you get sore. After all, you told me to, you know.
I told you?
You said go ahead, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess I did. You were pretty good at it, too.
Thanks. Would you rather I wouldn't?
Wouldn't what?
Do things like that.
Why ask me?
I'd like to know.
Well, of all the screwy...
All right. I won't do it anymore.
Look, I didn't ask you...
I know you didn't. Don't worry. I'm not giving up anything I care about. It's like shooting fish in a barrel anyway, men like that. They're all a bunch of... I'm a fine one to talk. The pot calling the kettle.
How long have you been away from home?
This is about the time for it, isn't it?
Time for what?
Story of my life. Where do you want me to begin?
I got a pretty fair idea already.
Who told you?
You did. That slap in the face you took.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you hardly blinked an eye. It takes a lot of practice to be able to do that. Yeah, I know a lot about you, Slim.
The next time I get slapped, I'd better do something about it.
She walks out.
Hey, you forgot your drink.
I don't want it.
Who's sore now?
I am.
Harry winces. Smiling, he puts their glasses down, then picks up the half-filled bottle of liquor. He corks it, then strides resolutely into the hall. His weathered brow wrinkles as he raps Slim's door with one knuckle.
Who is it?
It's me. The
door's unlocked.
Hey, forgot your bottle.
I said I didn't want it.
She stands by the window, arms folded.
Hey, you are sore, aren't you? I asked you a question. You didn't answer me. I said you're sore, aren't you?
Look, I'm tired and I want to get some sleep.
That's not a bad idea. What made you so mad?
I've been mad ever since I met you.
Most people are.
One look and you made up your mind just what you wanted to think about me. You were... Oh, what's the use?
Well, go ahead. Keep on going.
You don't know me, Steve. It doesn't work. I brought that bottle up here to make you feel cheap. That didn't work either. Instead, I'm the one who feels cheap. I've never felt that way before. I thought that maybe...
She slumps against a table where an open suitcase holds her belongings. Harry fingers its hard corners.
Go on, get out of here, will you, before I make a complete fool of myself.
Harry absently touches an open-toed shoe, then a perfume bottle. Slim wipes a tear from her eye.
How long have you been away from home, Slim?
It's not a...
She lifts her eyes to meet his.
About 6 months.
Going back?
How?
What are you going to do here?
I don't know. Get a job, maybe.
Jobs are hard to get. I don't think you'd like it here anyway.
Uncapping the perfume, he sniffs it.
Reminds you of somebody, Steve.
Oh. That's brand new to me. I like it. Would you go back if you could?
I'd walk. If it wasn't for all that water.
Harry cups her chin in his rugged hand and leans down close to her. His touch softens, stroking her skin.
Yeah.
Slim keeps her gaze fixed on him as he puts the perfume into her hand and closes her fingers around it.
Quit worrying, kid. You'll get back all right.
He leaves. Slim lifts the perfume to her nose and breathes deeply. Later, Harry works on his fishing reels in his room. Frowning uncertainly, he wipes his hands with a rag, then unlocks his door. It's Slim, wearing a bathrobe and carrying the liquor bottle.
What the...
Here's that bottle again.
Yeah, it's getting to be quite a problem, isn't it?
She shuts the door. He sits back down.
You want a drink?
Nope.
I thought you were tired and going to bed.
Yeah, I know. I thought so, too. You gave me something to think about. You said you might be able to help me.
That's right.
But how can you do that if... Steve, you're going to take that job with those men that were up here with Frenchie.
Yeah, if I can find what's left of them.
I flew over Devil's Island. Doesn't look like such a high-class resort.
That's what I heard.
Well, I don't want to be the cause.
Look, don't you get the idea I'm doing this just to help you. I need money, too.
He continues adjusting the fishing reels.
Won't Frenchie help you out without you having to do that?
I don't want his help.
Don't do it, will you, Steve?
Look, didn't you ask
don't
me
do
over
it.
The... Why don't you take this bottle and go to bed?
Slim pulls some cash from inside her robe.
Here, can you use this?
I thought you said you were broke. You're good. You're awful good. I'd walk home if it wasn't for all that water.
Harry's lips tighten. He sits back down at his desk.
Who was the girl, Steve?
Who was what girl?
The one who left you with such a high opinion of women. She must have been quite a gal. You think I lied to you about this, don't you? Well, it just happens there's $30-odd here. Not enough for boat fare or any other kind of fare. Just enough to be able to say no if I feel like it. And you can have it if you want it.
Harry squints through his cigarette smoke.
I'm sorry, Slim. But I still say you're awful good, and I wouldn't...
You wouldn't take anything from anybody, would you?
That's right.
You know, Steve, you're not very hard to figure. Only at times. Sometimes I know exactly what you're going to say. Most of the time. The other times...
Sliding onto his lap, she pets his chest.
The other times, you're just a stinker.
She kisses him. Harry regards her with heavy-lidded eyes.
What'd you do that for?
Been wondering whether I'd like it.
What's the decision?
I don't know yet.
Tilting her head, she kisses him again, and he leans into her embrace. Slim gets off his lap.
It's even better when you help.
She holds up the crumpled money.
Sure you won't change your mind about this?
Uh-huh.
This belongs to me, and so do my lips. I don't see any difference.
Oh, I do.
Bowing her head, okay. She gives him a sidelong glance.
You know you don't have to act with me, Steve. You don't have to say anything, and you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. Oh, maybe just whistle.
She pauses, leaning in his doorway.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
Pinching his cigarette between his thumb and finger, Harry purses his thin lips. Morning, in the village of Fort de France, a black boy sits outside his family's cottage where chickens feed on the bare ground. Suddenly alert, he scatters chicken feed into the road. His mother steps out with a broom, and the boy jerks his thumb over his shoulder. A car passes the house with two French officials in it.
You keep watching.
Inside, Harry and Frenchie talk to a wounded partisan.
Go on.
Well, you come along the lee shore of Angela from the south, about 3 kilometers from the point.
There's a little cove and a jetty, isn't there?
You know it, then.
Uh-huh. Signal's been arranged?
Yes, Emil can't show you.
Emil's not going to be there.
Please,
I'm doing this my way. I'm going alone.
A woman sits by the man's bed.
What are the signals?
You flash a light to the shore. They will answer it with two lights, one held above the other. There will be two people to bring back.
How'll I know them?
We've never seen them.
We know the name of one only, Paul de Broussac.
Well, that's good enough. How about landing them back here?
Do you know Cap Saint-Pierre?
Uh-huh.
A boat can meet you offshore there.
You be on that boat, Frenchy. I'll get out of here around noon, supposedly fishing. With a little luck and no patrol boats, I'll be back in our Saint-Pierre at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be burning any lights, so keep a sharp lookout.
One thing, Mr. Morgan. Last night you very definitely refused to have anything to do with us. Why have you changed your mind?
I need the money now. Last night I didn't.
If you knew what this means to us.
I don't want to know.
I'm glad you're on our side.
I'm not. I'm getting paid. Oh, and by the way, I'd like that money now.
Charles, if I were you, I do not think that I would trust Mr. Morgan.
With his hands on his hips, Harry meets her glare.
You have a doctor look at this leg?
No. They are watching all doctors who are friendly to us.
Mr. Bone?
Well, as far as I can tell.
He's lucky. Who told you to put a pillow under it?
Why not?
It doesn't hurt so much that way.
Well, it'll have to hurt, and you'll have to take it unless you want to take a chance of gangrene setting in. All right, I'll take that.
Are you a doctor?
No, but I've handled quite a lot of gunshot wounds.
He shows some Franks.
You can trust me now.
Good luck, Harry.
The men hesitate at the cottage door.
It's all right.
Now, at the Hotel Marquis, painters repair the cafe's shuttered doors. Cricket noodles on the piano while Slim sits nearby, sipping a cup of coffee.
More coffee, mademoiselle,
please.
With a sleepy-eyed gaze, Cricket works a matchstick between his lips.
What is that you're playing?
Did you say something?
Yeah, what's the name of that tune?
I hasn't got a name yet. I've just been fooling around with the lyrics. They're not so hard either. Would you like to hear?
Sure.
I run to the telephone whenever it rings. I can't be alone. It's one of those. I tell a star my little woes, hang around the bar till it's ready to close. So it goes. That's about as far as it goes.
I like it.
Yes, if I could get the right lyric.
Harry walks in and notices Slim across the room. Taking off his captain's hat, he heads for her table.
Morning, Cricket.
Morning, Harry.
Morning, Slim.
Hello, Steve.
How'd you sleep?
Best in a long time. Have some coffee.
No, thanks. I've had mine.
You were up early. What were you doing?
I was getting you a ticket on the plane this afternoon. It leaves at 4. Can you make it?
Sure. You took that job, didn't you?
Uh-huh. See, I figured this way you wouldn't get your feet wet.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Sure, but I just...
She sets her jaw.
You want me to go, don't you?
Yes, I want you to go.
Okay, Steve.
Help her get on that plane, will you, Cricket?
I sure will, Harry.
Well, I'm going to be pretty busy from now on, so I probably won't see you again. If I ever get up your way,
yeah, I'll... do that. I'll leave my address with Frenchie so you can find me.
Maybe I'll know how to whistle by then. So long, Slim.
So long, Steve.
She looks at the ticket envelope Harry pressed into her hand.
Well, it was nice while it lasted.
Maybe it's better this way, Slim.
I don't know.
You haven't known him very long. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Later on the pier, Eddie totters along the water-stained planks to the Queen Conch. Stretching his long leg toward the boat's deck, he hops on board, nearly stumbling over.
Hi, Harry. How's everything?
Fine. I thought I told you to stay back at the hotel.
I knew you was going out.
Who told you that?
Oh, you can't fool me, Harry. I knew it just as plain. Say, could I have
well,
a little...
Well, you're not going.
Say, could I have a little one just enough to fill a hen's ear?
Come on, Eddie. Get off.
What's the matter, Harry? No sense in getting
Come
plugged
on, Eddie,
at me.
Get
Take
off.
Harry slaps Eddie, then gives him a hard-eyed stare under the brim of his captain's hat. Eddie strokes his gray stubbled cheek and starts to climb off the boat. He turns back, slack-jawed.
I wouldn't do that to you.
You're right, you wouldn't. I'm not going to carry you, that's all.
What'd you have to hit me for?
So you'd believe me.
You ain't treating me square.
Who'd you ever treat square? You'd double-cross your own mother. You told me so yourself.
I was only kidding.
Eddie.
Harry digs some money out of his dungarees and passes it over to Eddie on the pier.
Thanks, Harry. I knew you was my pal. But why won't you carry me?
Because I don't want you.
Oh, you're just plugged. Never mind, old pal. You'll be glad to see me yet.
Eddie hurries away. Harry watches his quick, herky-jerky gait and smiles. Later, the Queen Conch motors out to sea with Harry at the wheel. Glancing around, he picks up a revolver and goes to the cabin door.
All right, come out of there.
It's only me, Harry. It's only me.
Eddie crawls out.
How'd you get back on board?
Oh, I went up the street and got a couple of bottles, and then I sneaked in a port while you was working on the engine. I knew you'd carry me, Harry.
Carry you nothing. If I thought you could swim back, I'd dump you overboard.
Oh, you're an old joker. You and me's got to stick together when we're in trouble.
How do you know I'm in trouble?
Oh, you can't fool me. I always know. Where are we going, Harry?
Eddie, what would you do if somebody shot at you?
Shot at me? With a gun? Who's going to shoot at me?
You're lucky nobody.
Now, Harry, where are we going? What are we going to do?
I'll tell you when the time comes. For now, get out some fishing tackle. Aren't you glad you came?
No.
Later, thick fog surrounds the boat, and Eddie stands at the wheel. Harry comes out of the cabin carrying a long case, two small boxes, and a coat.
Yeah, Eddie, put this on. It's getting cold.
I'm all right, Harry.
He sets the coat in front of Eddie. Sitting down, he reaches into the long case and pulls out a rifle. Eddie glances back.
Jay, what's going on? What's the matter?
Nothing.
Yes, there is two. What's all the darn guns for?
In case we run into a shark or something.
A shark? At night?
Eddie's smile disappears.
There's something. What do you mean, there's something?
Watch your course, Eddie.
What's the matter?
We're going on a job. I'll tell you what to do when it's time.
A job? What kind of a job? What do you expect me to do?
You know how to handle one of these?
Of course I know how to handle one. Everybody knows how to handle a gun. All you do is work the lever and pull the trigger. You know I know that. Sometimes you ask the foolish questions. You want to know how to handle a gun.
Eddie takes the wheel again, then turns to Harry, gaping.
What I got to work a gun for?
I just wondered if you could.
Well, you know I can't. Harry, sometimes you act stupid. Just plain stupid. Sometimes I think you don't pay no attention to nothing I say. Sometimes... Is it going to be that bad, Harry?
I don't know yet. It all depends on how lucky we are.
Oh. That's why you didn't want to carry me. I knew there was some other reason. It wasn't mad at me at all.
His stubbly face lights up with a broad smile.
You was afraid I'd get hurt. You was thinking of me.
Watch your course, Eddie.
I feel better now, Harry. I'll be all right. You see.
He takes the wheel again and gazes out into the foggy night. Harry studies Eddie's face with a curious half-smile.
What's the matter, Harry? What are you looking at me like that for? What are you laughing at?
Just a joke that neither one of us knows the answer to.
What joke?
Whether you're going to hold together or not.
Don't say that, Harry. I'm a good man. You know I am.
Yeah, I know you are, but you're going all over the ocean. Stay on your course.
Oh, why do you always... See, Harry, could I have just one? I don't want to get the shakes.
I'll make it a short one. I want you to run brave, but I don't want you useless.
Thanks, Harry.
Eddie goes below, and Harry takes the wheel. Later, the shadowy outline of Harry's boat appears through the thick fog. At the wheel, Harry squints to see as he steers. Behind him, Eddie sleeps with his head propped up on his arm. He wakes as Harry turns off the boat's light.
What's the matter, Harry?
ahead, a shoreline appears through the fog. Harry flashes a spotlight. On the beach, a light flashes twice in reply. Adjusting his captain's hat, Harry starts out, heading for the island.
Who's that? What are we going to do?
I'm going to pick up a couple of guys. Here's what I want you to do. Take this gun and get back there in the stern. If there's any trouble, start shooting. Yeah, but don't shoot me.
Yeah, but supposing something happens to you, what do I do then?
How do I know? You invited yourself on this trip, not me. I'd get back there.
As Eddie steps backward to the stern, light glints off the barrel of the rifle in his hands. The Queen Conch motors steadily through the low rolling waves. Reaching the island, they glide toward a small dock where a man waits with a couple. Wearing a trench coat and fedora, the man shines a flashlight into Harry's face as he pulls up to the dock.
Get up!
Harry grabs hold of a line at the end of the dock and pulls in his boat.
My name's Harry Morgan. Beauclair sent me. Get that light out of my face.
He's got my way on America.
What happened to Beauclair?
Oh, he ran into a little trouble. What's your name?
De Brissac.
That's the name. All right, Eddie. Come on aboard. Hey, wait a minute. He didn't say anything about a woman.
Permit me, Captain. This is my wife, Madame de Brissac.
Now, how do you do? What do you want to bring her?
The woman's full, glossy lips curl up in a smile.
Well, it's your funeral. All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, my gosh, you were.
They climb aboard the boat, and the man hands them two small pieces of luggage. Harry glances at Madame de Brissac, a thin, sexy brunette, then steers away from shore.
All right, Eddie, you can relax now. Don't unload. We're not home yet.
Mr. Morgan.
If it gets cold, you can put it down in the cabin.
De Brissac stands.
Mr. Morgan, just who are you?
I own this boat. Beauclair's paying me to get you people back to Martinique.
You're not one of us.
No.
You're not on our side.
Nope.
I don't understand.
I don't understand what kind of a war you guys are fighting. Lugging your wives around with you. Did you get enough from at home?
I don't.
You say you're being paid for this.
That's right.
Then I suggest you stop talking and take us to Martinique.
Well, that's where we're heading right now.
Harry turns back to the wheel. De Brissac presses his lips together and takes a seat beside his wife. Later, as the Queen Conch cruises over open seas, Eddie nods off to sleep. On the port side, De Brissac sits with his arm around his wife. Harry peers out at the water, then shuts off the lights and cuts the motor.
What's the matter, Harry?
Be quiet. I saw something out there.
Fog blankets the calm water.
Listen.
Harry cracks a smile at Eddie.
What is it?
I don't know.
Shut up. Hey, you hear that?
Is it the patrol boat?
Don't you know those engines? Sounds like she's off there.
A boat with a spotlight emerges from the fog.
All right, stand by that wheel. Now, wait a minute. Give me that gun.
You can't fight them guys, Harry.
What's the matter with you, Eddie? This is where you ought to be telling me how good you are.
I can do it. What do you want me to do?
Well, we're lucky nothing. If we're not, hook her up and get away from here fast.
What does it mean, Mr. Morgan?
Trouble if they see us.
What can we do?
You can't do anything. Just get down on the deck flat and stay there. Although I don't know what good it's going to do you.
If you try to resist with that,
please,
you will get us all killed.
Shut up, both of you. Get down on the deck flat. You save France. I'm going to save my boat.
The spotlight sweeps past.
Up,
Harry aims, but de Brissac grabs him. Harry shoves him away, then shoots as the patrol boat opens fire. De Brissac gets hit and crushes his shoulder. On the patrol boat, sailors duck as the big spotlight shatters. An officer peers through binoculars and sees the stern of Harry's boat as it speeds off into the fog. On board, Eddie stands at the wheel. Harry puts down the rifle.
Well, we got lucky again. Ease her off and put her on 160 and then get that first aid kit.
Harry squats beside de Brissac and tears open his shirt at the shoulder. De Brissac winces.
Oh, that's not so bad. You wouldn't have gotten out if you hadn't been so anxious to give up.
Please help me get him up on the seat.
Leave him where he is. I don't want him bleeding all over my cushion.
Yeah, Harry.
Okay, Eddie. You can have a drink now.
Thanks, Harry.
Here, help me off with this coat.
De Brissac's face contorts.
Easy now, boy.
Later, in the dim light, two men wearing trench coats and fedoras sit in a dinghy. Nearby, the Queen Concha peers through the fog. On board, de Brissac slouches wearily beside his wife.
All right, get ready. The man in that boat will take you on from here.
But I don't understand.
A bunch of people spend a lot of time figuring this thing out. They know more about it than we do.
The dinghy glides alongside. The two men hold on to the side of the Queen Conch as Harry and Madame de Brissac help the injured man across the deck.
This is de Brissac. She's the other guy I was supposed to pick up, his wife.
My name is Girard.
How'd you do? Easy with him. He's been shot up a little.
Well, what happened?
Well, we ran into a patrol boat. They'll tell you about it.
Eddie helps Madame de Brissac into the dinghy as well.
I'll cruise around a little and give you a chance to get ashore. Good luck.
Thanks.
Eddie hands down the luggage and the men row away. Later in town, Harry and Eddie walk to Frenchie's Cafe. At the door, Harry presses a buzzer and Eddie peers in below the blinds. A stout, white-haired woman unlocks the door and smiles.
Bonsoir.
Evening, Mama.
Harry's eyes widen. Across the room, Slim leans into the curve of Cricket's piano as the other band members gather around.
I thought you said she pulled out.
I thought she did.
With a hint of a smile, Harry sidles across the room, his thumbs hooked into his belt.
By the stars above, she's the one that I...
Hello, Steve.
But you were going to put her on a plane.
Harry, she said...
Matter, didn't it go?
Yes, it went, but I decided not to.
Oh, you did? You know, I went to a lot of trouble to get you out of here.
That's why I didn't go.
Yeah. You dames. Guy goes out and breaks his neck to... Well, I might have expected it.
Steve, you're not sore, are you?
Look, it'll be all right if I...
I got a refund on that ticket here.
Yeah, that's going to help a lot. You better hang on to it.
Harry, we can use some...
He'll buy it for you. Nothing but beer for him.
Oh, remember. We'll be all right, Steve. I've got a job.
Doing what?
Frenchie seems to think I can sing.
Well, it's his place.
Sometimes you make me so mad I can...
Harry.
Frenchie.
Do what?
Harry, I need your help.
Yeah, what is it now?
That...
It's all right. Go ahead.
That man is very badly wounded, Harry.
Well, I took a look at it. The bullet hit the gunwale first and was practically spent. All you got to do is get somebody to take it out of him.
Couldn't you do it for us?
Me? Hotter than any doctor right now. Don't you think they recognize my boat? They'll be on my tail any minute. All I gotta do is walk out of here.
You don't have to go out.
You didn't bring them here.
I understand.
Why didn't you put them on the center table in a goldfish bowl and be done with it?
We had to do something. They're watching every road out of town.
See what you got yourself into by sticking around here?
I'm ready to go anytime you are.
Please, Harry, will you do it?
Not a chance, Frenchie.
Captain Morgan, your bill here at the hotel being overdue amounts to 6,356 francs.
Six?
Well, she's right, Eddie. You really keep the books, don't you, Mama?
We will be glad to dismiss the whole matter if you will do this for us.
Throw her bill in, too?
Sure thing.
All I gotta do is take the bullet out and dress
the That's all. Awesome.
You know, you almost had me figured right, Mama, except for one thing. I'll still owe you that bill. Now, look, Slim, up in my room, you'll find a medical kit. It's gray and about this big with the name of the boat on it. Bring it down to the cellar.
Sure.
Oh, and Slim, here's the key. Bring some hot water, too.
This way.
Harry. Can I help?
No, Eddie, you just stay out of sight, but if you should run across the police, don't forget what I told you to tell them.
What was that, Harry?
Harry smiles.
Just stay out of sight, Eddie.
I remember.
Harry grins again, then follows Frenchie behind the bar. In the back hallway, Frenchie pulls a set of keys from his suit pocket and opens a door. He glances around, then leads Harry down the steps into the cellar. In a separate room, de Brissac lies in bed. His wife and another Frenchman sit at his side. Glancing at the door, Madame de Brissac goes out into the larger cellar room.
What do you want here?
Well, I'll tell you, I was sort of invited. He asked me.
You're not a doctor.
No.
Where is the doctor?
Please, be patient.
I have been patient. How do I know you know anything?
You don't.
Wait a minute.
Harry brushes past her and goes into the next room. As he lays his hand on de Brissac's sweaty forehead, Madame de Brissac watches, frowning. Sitting down, he lifts the compress to examine de Brissac's wound.
How long has he been unconscious?
Just a few minutes.
He feels de Brissac's wrist for a pulse.
And I'll look.
He gets up and goes out into the larger cellar. The others join him.
Well, he's got some fever and his pulse is a little low. Be all right, though, as soon as we get the bullet out of him.
You're not to touch him, do you hear?
Well, that's all right with me. I'm not getting paid.
Please, she doesn't know what she's saying. She's not herself.
Who is she?
Harry, you promised.
Look, you want to help your husband, don't you?
Yes.
Well, use your head. We can't get a doctor without giving the whole show away. Besides, he's probably got as good a chance with me as anybody.
I'm not going to let you do it.
Well, why not? He's no different than anybody else. Just a little sicker, that's all. That means he's not worth so much. Now, look.
She tries to slap him, but he grabs her hand. Just then, Slim appears.
You never know the crack at me later on. Hello, Slim.
Hello.
Miss Browning, Madame de Brissac. Don't get tough with Slim. She's apt to slap you back. What you said you'd do, wasn't it? Bring the water in here.
Wait a minute.
He's only trying to help you.
Who are you?
Nobody. Just another volunteer.
She ducks in through the low doorway.
Where do you want this water?
In that basin. Is it hot?
Boiling.
He hands her some instruments.
All right, then pour some of this in it and drop these in.
Madame de Brissac steps closer to the bed.
You better get out of here. You may not like this.
I'll be all right.
All right, then take this.
What is it?
Chloroform. Get over there by your husband's head, and if he comes to while I'm probing, pour some of that stuff in a hunk of cotton and get him over for it. Don't open it till I tell you to.
He hands a wad of bandages to Frenchie, then sits on the bed next to de Brissac and uncovers his wound.
Well, George, bring that lamp a little closer so I can see what I'm doing.
The other Frenchman brings over a small oil lamp as Harry pours iodine onto a bandage and wipes the wound. Madame de Brissac watches closely, her brow knit.
All right, Slim.
She brings over the basin of hot water. Harry fishes out a pair of surgical tweezers and a probe. As he pokes the probe into the wound, the barely conscious de Brissac suddenly stirs.
Easy, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, open that can and give him some. George, see if you can hold his head down.
Mm-hmm.
Madame de Brissac faints.
Well, that's fine. Don't worry about her. Pick up that can.
Chloroform pours out.
Any of it left?
I think there's enough.
Now, wait a minute. I don't think we'll need it. He's out, too. I'll bring that lamp down a little lower. Why don't you bring that basin over here?
Harry wipes his brow on his sleeve.
And fan some of those fumes away, will you? We'll all be out.
Slim waves a small woven fan as Harry goes back to work. With the lantern light glowing on his face, he leans over to Brissac's shoulder, working the pair of surgical tweezers. He pulls out an inch-long slug and holds it up.
There you are, Frenchie. There's your bullet. I told you it was spent. It would have smashed the bone. All right, I don't need that.
Frenchie takes the basin away. Slim keeps fanning as Harry opens a small bottle of iodine. Wincing, he pours some into the unconscious man's wound. Harry stands, rubs his hands together, and glances around.
All right, you finish bandaging it up. Leave the tip in the box. I gotta get Nursie out of here. She never will come to.
Slim eyes him as he goes around the bed and picks up the other woman. As he carries her out into the larger room, her head lolls back. Harry pauses and looks at her smooth, bare neck.
What are you trying to do, guess her weight?
She's heftier than you think.
He lays her out on a cot. Slim sidles over with a sly smile.
You better loosen her clothes.
You've been doing all right.
He starts to unbutton her collar. Slim stops him.
Maybe you better look after her husband.
He's not going to run out on me.
Neither is she.
They exchange a smile.
Steve. Is it all right if I give her a little whiff of this?
She holds up the chloroform. Harry grins and goes into the bedroom. As Frenchie finishes bandaging de Brissac's arm, Harry puts his foot up on the bed frame and takes out a cigarette. He gazes at the patient's sweat-soaked face. De Brissac comes to and looks up at Harry.
Well, you're with us again. You were lucky you passed out.
What happened? You must...
We'll talk about that in the morning. See if you can get some sleep.
Thanks.
Morning. With sunlight from the small windows shining on him, Harry stretches his arms. Across the room, Madame de Brissac sleeps in a chair. She wakes up and frowns at Harry. He glances at her husband's bed, then back at her.
Why'd you ever come along with him on a trip like this?
I loved him. Wanted to be with him.
That's a reason.
There's another reason. They told me to come. Our people did. They said no man was much good if he left someone behind in France. The Germans to find and hold.
Makes sense.
I told them I'd only be in the way, that I could do no good, that I was afraid. But the worst of it is that it's been so hard for him to have me alone. Because I've made him that way too. Oh, he's afraid.
He didn't invent it.
Invent what?
Being afraid.
Thanks, Mr. Morgan.
She smiles softly. Harry gets up and blows out the flame of the oil lamp beside the bed, then places his hand on de Brissac's forehead. De Brissac lies on his side, sleeping.
And the fever's gone. I'm no doctor, but he looks pretty good to me. If he wakes up, give him another one of these pills.
Setting them on the bedside table, he goes to the door. Madame de Brissac watches him, then follows him out into the other room.
Mr. Morgan, I...
You're not going to faint again.
Slim appears at the top of the stairs.
I'm just having a hard time trying to say something.
Go ahead, say it. I'm not going to bite you.
But if it hadn't been for you, Paul might have... I'm sorry for the way I've acted.
Ah, you're not sorry at all. You're just sorry you made a fool of yourself.
I have, haven't I? You don't make me angry when you say that. I don't think I'll ever be angry again with anything you say.
Another screwy day. Now, how can you...
Molly. Hate to break this up, but I brought some breakfast.
Slim brings a tray of food.
Good morning. How's your patient?
He'll be all right.
Or haven't you looked lately?
He'll be all right. I'll be back this evening. If you need me before then, be sure and call me.
I will. Yes, and I hope you have everything you need here. The eggs may be a little hard-boiled.
Oh, that's all right. I like them that way.
You're lucky, isn't she?
Slim's hips sway as she walks back up the stairs. Later, Harry stands outside his room.
I'm going to get some sleep. I'll see you later.
He unlocks the door and goes in. Smiling, Slim follows.
Thanks.
What do you want?
I could use a match.
Glancing sidelong at her, he takes a box of matches out of the desk drawer and tosses them across the room.
Thanks. Now I need a cigarette.
He flips open the lid of a humidor and points to it, then paces away and sits on the couch. Slim reaches for a cigarette, then sees Harry untying his shoes.
Here, I can do that.
Look.
Oh, come on, let me help.
Look, when I get ready to take my shoes off, I'll take them off myself.
All right. Want something to eat?
No.
Just a little breakfast?
All I want to do is get some sleep.
It's a good idea. I can help you there.
Hey, now where are you going?
I'm going to fix you a nice hot bath. It'll make you sleep better.
Look, Junior, I don't want you to take my shoes off. I don't want you to get me any breakfast. I don't want you to draw me a nice hot bath. I don't want you
to...
Isn't
there anything I can do, Steve?
Yes, get the...
You know, Mr. Morgan, you don't make me angry when you say that. I don't think I'll ever be angry again at anything you say.
She bats her eyelashes. He smiles.
How am I doing, Steve? Does it work the second time?
You've been wanting to do something for me, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Harry gets up and stands in front of her.
Walk around me. Now, go ahead. Walk around me. Clear around.
She looks him over with her wide-set, cat-like eyes, then paces slowly around him. Smiling, she faces him again.
You find anything?
No. No, Steve. There are no strings tied to you. Not yet.
He grins, then takes her arm and walks her to the door. She turns sharply to face him, and their lips meet in a hard, passionate kiss.
Oh, I like that. Except for the beard. Why don't you shave and we'll try it again.
Harry opens the door. It's Frenchie.
Harry.
Oh, later, Frenchie.
No, Harry, wait. Renard, the inspector, is downstairs. You better come down.
Oh, I can't do that. I gotta get a shave.
He's got Eddie.
He's what?
Eddie, yes. He's giving him drinks and asking him questions.
Well, I'd be afraid of that.
He grabs his hat.
Good thing he didn't get me in that tub.
Look out for those strings, Steve. You're liable to trip and break your neck.
Strings? I didn't see any strings.
They just don't show, Frenchie.
Downstairs, Eddie sits with Renard.
You ought to have seen that fish. It must have weighed 900 if it weighed a pound. It was the biggest marlin you ever seen in
Harry all. Harry approaches the table.
You know, a marlin is a swordfish.
Good morning, Captain.
Oh, hello, Harry. How's everything?
Fine.
Won't you join us?
A little early for this kind of a party, isn't it?
Continue, Mr. Eddie.
You hear that, Harry? You call me Mr. Say, you're all right.
Slim and Frenchie join them.
I never was, Eddie. Go on with what you were saying.
Oh, I was just telling him about the big one we hooked on last night.
Uh-huh.
Well, sir, that fish was so big that me and Harry could hardly budge him. We pumped on him until we was all wore out, didn't we, Harry?
That's right, Eddie.
It was after dark and we were still playing him. He must have weighed at least a...
He drinks.
1,000 easy.
Every time Mr. Eddie takes a drink, this fabulous fish grows larger.
He must have started with a pretty small one.
He tips an empty bottle.
How did you finally manage to land such a leviathan?
No, we didn't Eddie tell you? Ran into a German submarine.
A German submarine?
And whatever it was, it turned its light on us and opened fire. I didn't stick around to find out.
I do not think...
You know, you can't be too careful these days.
I do not think anybody could give a more logical explanation for refusing to obey the challenge of our patrol boat. Not to speak of shooting out their searchlight.
Patrol boat?
Yes.
Well, that's what it was. You were right, Eddie.
I'm a good man in the dock. I always was.
You know, it's a funny thing. He kept saying it was a patrol boat all the time, and I wouldn't believe him.
There's one thing that is not clear to me, Captain Morgan.
Yeah, what's that?
Why does a professional fisherman go fishing for his own amusement?
Well, don't you ever ask any questions? Don't you ever talk?
The other henchman sneers.
No, I guess you don't. What were you saying?
Does a professional fisherman go fishing for his own amusement?
Well, he does if he likes it. We like it, don't we, Eddie?
Yeah. You remember that night in Key West when we went up...
We do not seem to be getting anywhere.
It was the 4th of July, and
Mr.
you said...
Mr. Eddie.
I was only going to tell him it's Key West the 4th of July 3 years ago at 8 o'clock. I got that in, Harry.
What about your passengers?
7 o'clock, Eddie.
What about your two passengers?
You wasn't a burn up at him. You fed him the rum.
What about your two passengers?
What passengers?
The ones you brought over from Antigua.
He was waiting on the dock when we came in. How do you think I got them ashore in my sleeve?
You could have landed them a dozen places on our coastline.
That's right, I could have at that.
Would $500 refresh your memory?
Oh, my memory's pretty good. For instance, I can remember that you're the guy who lifted my passport and all my money.
Would your memory become any better if your passport and money were returned to you?
That include the $825 Johnson owed me?
Why not?
And the $500 you just mentioned.
You drive a hard bargain, Captain Morgan.
Well, that's no bargain. If these people are as important as you seem to think they are, they're going to be pretty hard to find.
Not for a man of your resourcefulness. Think it over, and let me hear from you.
As Renard leaves, Harry gives a wave to the silent henchman. Frenchie and Slim frown as they watch them go.
Do you hear all of that?
Most of it.
Bielitz went away pretty mad. As soon as he cools off, though, he's going to start thinking.
He thinks now that you will turn them in.
Well, it's what you want him to think, isn't it?
What will happen then?
He hasn't searched his hotel yet, has he?
No, not yet.
Well, there's your answer. He doesn't want them. He wants the whole setup.
What shall we do?
It's not we, it's you, and you can't do anything until that fellow downstairs gets strong enough to move. Until then, you're probably safe. Better get rid of this.
Yeah.
Well, bring us some breakfast, will
sure.
you, Frenchie?
I thought you didn't want any breakfast.
I didn't then. What were you saying, Eddie?
I've been figuring. Them guys don't think that I'm wise, but they was trying to get me drunk. They don't know me, do they, Harry?
Eddie's eyes grow wide.
I think they're trying to find out something. What do you suppose it is?
Well, don't you know?
No, I ain't got no idea.
Well, that's a good way to leave it. You know, you got the hiccups.
Have I, Harry? Oh, yeah, I never noticed.
Don't you think you better take a drink of water?
What, water?
Yeah, that's a good idea,
no. Slim. Oh, no, not that.
Do you good.
I'll be all right.
He gets up.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah, Harry?
Keep out of sight and stay away from the police. They're never going to believe that story you told a second time.
What story was that, Harry?
Keep out of sight.
Later, the cafe is full and Cricket sits at the keyboard. Attractive young women gather around, leaning on the body of the piano.
It's a story of a very unfortunate colored man who got arrested down in old Hong Kong. He got 20 years privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha's gong. And now he's bobbing the piano just to raise the price of a ticket to the land of the free. Well, he say his home's in Frisco where they send the rice, but it's really in Tennessee. That's why he say.
He sings to a pretty brunette sitting nearby.
I need someone to love me.
She smiles.
Need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there. Oh, I need someone to lend me a $50 bill and then I'll leave Hong Kong far behind me for happiness once again. Won't someone believe I've a yen to see that bay again? But when I tried to leave, sweet local man won't let me fly away. I need someone to love me, need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there.
Harry strides in wearing a white shirt, a blazer, and his cap. Waving to Cricket, he goes to the bar.
Seen Eddie around?
No, sir, Mr. Morgan. I have not seen him all evening.
Where's Frenchie?
The bartender looks around, then points downward.
That's the story of a very unfortunate colored man who got arrested down in old Hong Kong. He got 20 years privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha's bone.
A woman cocks her hips sideways to the last note, and Cricket gives her a nod. At the bar, Harry smiles, then glances carefully around the room. He spots Slim wearing a black satin dress with a plunging V neckline and a cutaway waist that shows her lean midriff.
Well,
I'm going to work. Do you like it?
Well, you won't have to sing much in that outfit.
I know, Steve. Sometimes you make
Why, do it. You haven't seen Eddie, have you?
No, not since noon. Why?
He left the boat and he hasn't come back.
Well, is there anything wrong?
I don't know. Hey, don't look now, but over there by the door, the second table, there's a guy with a mustache. I think he's following me. Keep an eye on him, will you? I'm going downstairs.
Hey, Harry.
Cricket.
Stick around a while. She's going to sing.
I'll be right back.
Give her my love.
I'd give her my own if she had that on.
Here's the rest of the lyrics now. How do you feel?
Well, I could use a drink, Cricket.
Sure, come on. Amo? What do you have, Slim?
Scotch and soda.
Same.
As Cricket waits for the drinks, Slim glances across the room. In the cellar, Madame de Bursac takes a finished food tray from her husband sitting up in bed. Harry steps in.
Good evening.
Good evening, Captain Morgan.
How are you feeling?
Much better. I'm very grateful to you.
Ah, oh, forget it. Have a look at this.
Harry examines his shoulder.
Well, there's no bleeding.
No.
That hurt?
Very little. My only trouble is when I'm eating. I'm awkward with my left hand.
Well, we'll see if we can't arrange to have you shot in the other arm next time. You won't need me anymore. Frenchie, I'm pulling out.
When?
As soon as I find Eddie.
Is your friend missing?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. He left the dock and hasn't been back since. He usually does what I tell him.
I'm sorry if anything happened.
Well, I won't know that until I find him.
Couldn't you leave him here?
I don't think Eddie liked that.
Now, look, Frenchie, as soon as I'm gone, Renard's going to move in and turn this place upside down. So you better start figuring how and where you're going to move him, and quick.
Wouldn't it be best if he went with you, Captain?
Why do you want to go? I'm still trying to get out of the jam I got into bringing you here. Just why'd you come here in the first place? I know why she came. She told me, but why did you?
Did you ever hear of Pierre Villemar?
Pierre Villemar? Yeah, I read a headline. He's quite a guy. Vichy got him. He's dead, isn't
he? No. He's on Devil's Island. They sent me here to get him, to bring him back here to Martinique. He's a man whom people who are persecuted and oppressed will believe in and follow.
Well, just how are you going to get him away?
You don't think much of me, Captain Morgan. You're wondering why they have chosen me for this mission. I wonder, too. As you know, I am not a brave man. On the contrary, I'm always frightened. I wish I could borrow your nature for a while, Captain. When you meet danger, you never think of anything except how you will circumvent it. The word failure does not even exist for you. While I think always, suppose I fail, and then I'm frightened.
Yeah, I can easily see how it wouldn't take much courage to get a notorious patriot off Devil's Island, but just for professional reasons, I'd like to know how you're going to do it.
We will find a way. It might fail. And if it does, and I'm still alive, I will try to pass on my information, my mission, to someone else. Perhaps to a better man who does not fail. Because there is always someone else. That is the mistake the Germans always make with people they try to destroy. There will be always someone else.
Yeah.
Originally, we planned to do everything from here. But then, because of my own clumsiness, it was impossible. And that's the reason we have to go with you.
Well, I couldn't even get you on the dock. They got a man down there watching. There's one upstairs. They're all over the place. How would I get you through the streets?
How do you go?
Well, they're watching me to find you. As long as I haven't got you along, I can at least get on the boat. There'll be a fog again, and the tide will turn a little after midnight. I can cut loose and drift out beyond the breakwater before I start my engines. I'll still have trouble enough even without you.
But very... Captain Morgan is right. This is not his fight yet. Someday I hope it may be. Because we could use him. You have done enough for us already. Gerard told me of you refusing Renard's offer to give us up.
How do you know I won't do it yet?
There are many things a man will do. But betrayal for a price is not one of yours.
Harry offers his hand.
Good luck.
Hope you find your friend.
Thanks.
Goodbye and thanks.
Harry nods to Madame de Bursac, then leaves with Frenchie.
Oh, Frenchie, I got a few things I want to talk to you about before I blow.
Well, then I'll be up in a little while, Harry.
Later, Harry finds Slim at the bar, reading her music.
Mm-hmm.
Any sign of Eddie?
Mm-mm. But your friend's still sitting at his table.
Yeah, I know.
What's the matter, Steve?
I don't know. I got a hunch the whole thing's going to blow up. It's too quiet.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pull out of here tonight, as soon as I find Eddie. We're leaving here for good. The three of us. Now, wait a minute. I want you to know what you're going to get into. It's going to be rough. I'm broke. If we do get out of here, it'll be with a couple of 100 gallons of gas and a few francs, just about enough to get it to Port-au-Prince, maybe.
I've never been there.
I don't know when you'll get back home. Could be a long time.
Could be forever. Or you're afraid of that. I'm hard to get, Steve. All you have to do is ask me.
How long will it take you to pack?
She draws close for a kiss.
There's a lot of people around. Just save it.
At the piano, Cricket beckons Slim to come over.
We won't shove off till midnight. Go ahead and go to work.
Smiling, she slinks past him and joins Cricket and the four-man band.
You all set, Slim?
Sure. But don't make it sad, Cricket. I don't feel that way.
You don't look that way either. Let's go. Top note, boys.
With cigarette smoke curling up around her, Slim takes her place beside the piano and slides a sultry gaze in Harry's direction.
Maybe it happens this way. Maybe we really belong together, but after all little we know, just for a day. Love is as changeable as the weather, and after all, how little we know. Who knows why an April breeze never remains.
Slim strolls out among the tables where men in linen suits grin at her. She glances at Harry, who raises his eyebrows and smiles.
Love comes along, casting a spell. Will it sing you a song? Will it say a farewell?
Who can tell?
Maybe you're meant to be mine. Maybe I'm only supposed to stay in your arms a while.
As others have done.
She shoots a look over her shoulder.
Is this what I've waited for? Am I the one? Oh, I hope in my heart that it's so. In spite of how little we know.
Harry gives a wink and applauds. Frenchie touches Harry's arm.
Madame de Brossac wants to see you.
Now, look, Frenchie, that's all over.
She's up in your room.
She... Why did you...
Please, that's all I will ask. Thanks, Harry.
Upstairs, Harry steps into his room and finds Madame de Brossac.
Look, now, you shouldn't have come up here. It's too much of a chance. I told you downstairs I can't take you.
I didn't come up for that. You've already done too much for us, but there's just one other favor I'd like to ask. I want you to take these.
Jewelry?
They were my grandmother's and her mother's before that. She gave them to me when I got married. They're all I've got left. I want you to take them out of here with you and save them till we can...
Suppose they get me before I get out.
Then throw them overboard. At least they won't have them.
Suppose you never come for them.
Then let it be a part payment for all you've done for us.
Slim Please, comes you... in.
Steve, Renard just came in. He's on his way up.
Did he see you?
I don't think so.
Now, here, you take these and both of you get in there and keep quiet. As soon as I get rid of them, you take her back down to the cellar.
All right, Steve.
The women slip into the bathroom. Standing by the door, Harry turns on the light and scans his room. Captain Renard.
Good evening. May we come in?
Frenchie and Renard's men come in, too. Harry faces the silent one.
Good evening.
The other frisks him.
No, I never carry.
He eyes Renard.
On your mind?
The whereabouts of the two people we are searching for.
Well, you haven't found them yet.
No, but since this morning, through our sources, we have learned their names. Monsieur and Madame Dubossac. That is correct, is it not?
How would I know that?
Well, I thought perhaps...
He sniffs the air.
Very nice perfume.
You like that, huh?
Yes.
So do I. All right, Slim, come out.
Slim steps out of the bathroom with a coy smile.
You've met the boys.
Good evening.
Mademoiselle. Well, now we are all here. Except your friend, Mr. Eddie. As he likes to be called.
Harry blinks at him.
So you got him?
Yes. Now we lack only the two missing persons.
What are you going to do with him?
If you will not give us the information we want, perhaps he will. Before we made the mistake of giving him liquor, this time we will withhold it.
You know what that'll do to him?
I think so.
He couldn't stand it. He'd crack up.
You can easily prevent that.
Yeah, I can.
He turns to the silent thug.
You got a cigarette? Can't you make him talk?
When necessary.
Uh-huh. Find some in that drawer, Slim.
Slim goes to the desk and slides open the drawer. Next to the cigarettes, she sees a revolver.
Steve.
She tosses the cigarettes.
And me a lot of time if you will tell us where these people are.
Harry sticks a cigarette between his lips and paces slowly to the open desk.
How much was it you were going to give me? More than what's mine already?
I do not think now I will have to pay anybody anything.
You're probably right.
He pats his pockets.
I haven't got a match.
He lunges and shoots the gun through the desk. The silent thug falls.
Go on. Go on, pull your guns. Go ahead. Go ahead, get him out. Go ahead, try it.
He flips the desk and advances with the gun.
You're going to get it anyway.
Harry, don't.
You've been pushing me around long enough. So you were going to drive Eddie nuts, picking on a poor old rummy that never slapping girls around. That's right, go for it. Your boy needs company.
Renard and his man keep their hands up. Harry switches the gun to his left hand and holds up his right. It's shaking.
Look at that. Ain't that silly? That's how close you came. All right, Frenchie, get the guns.
While Frenchie frisks them, Harry stoops down and takes a pair of handcuffs from the fallen man's pocket. He hands them to Frenchie.
There you are.
Harry keeps the revolver aimed at them as Frenchie handcuffs Renard and takes his gun.
Now get over on that couch. Go ahead, step over him.
They climb over the dead man's body.
Sit down. All right, come on out.
Madame de Brissac steps from the bathroom.
That's one of them. The other one's down the cellar. Frenchie, take her downstairs. Get some help. Have them both ready to leave on the boat, then come back up here. Slim, you pack. We're shoving off as soon as we get Eddie out.
Okay, Steve.
Just how do you think...
Shut up. You want to know how I'm going to get him out?
He smashes a flower pot.
That broke as easy as you will. There's a telephone out in the hall. You're going to tell someone to let him go. Send him back up here. Oh, yes, you are. One of you.
He flicks off Renard's beret.
Well, I haven't forgotten you.
He knocks off the thug's boater hat.
You're both going to take a beating till someone uses that phone. That means one of you is going to take a beating for nothing. I don't care which one it is. We'll start with you.
Later, at the phone.
You'll release him immediately.
Harry holds the phone for Renard.
Tell him he'll explain later.
I will explain it later.
Tell him to send him back to the hotel and do nothing else till you get there.
Send him back here to the hotel and do nothing till you hear from us.
Harry listens, then hangs up.
All right, inside, you get some harbor passes to fill out.
Later, Renard sits at the desk, signing.
And now, Paul and Madame de Brussac.
A resistance member stands guard. Frenchie returns.
Be right with you, Frenchie.
Taking the last of the signed harbor passes, Harry turns to the resistance member, a man wearing a white double-breasted suit.
They're all yours now.
Thanks, Mr. Morgan.
They are all ready, Harry.
They are. These will get them through the garden on the boat.
Where would you take them, Harry?
Well, maybe Devil's Island.
What?
I'd even get your friend Vilmar's off. That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Very much. Why are you doing this, Harry?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I like you, maybe because I don't like them.
I'm glad you're on our side, Harry. I'm glad.
There's no kissing, Frenchie.
Oh, no.
Now you'll have to take care of those guys in there.
We'll give you plenty of time.
If you let them go, they'll come back here and burn this place down.
Let them. It'll be a very small fire. When Vilmar comes back, he'll be out, and we'll start a bigger one.
Meet you on the boat.
Eddie appears. A resistance man stops him.
So I let him through.
Eddie holds his chin high and smiles.
Hi, Harry. How's everything?
That's all right now.
Say, you look glad to see me. You know a funny thing?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what they wanted, but they wouldn't even
give
me a...
I'll get you one down on the boat. We're leaving, Eddie. Ready, Slim?
In a minute, Steve. Close that, will you?
Say, what is this? She going with us?
Yeah, looks like it.
Oh, Harry, you mean... What's she got... Who are you?
Was you ever bit by a dead bee?
Was you?
Yeah. You know, you gotta be careful of dead bees. They can sting you just as bad as live ones. Especially if they was kind of mad when
Eddie
they
Eddie plugs
you.
His ears.
I feel like I was talking to myself.
I bet I've been bit 100 times that way.
Why don't you bite him back?
I would, only I haven't got a stinger.
Oh, I remember you. You're all right. She can come, Harry. It's okay with me. Now I'll have the two of you to take care of, won't I?
That's right, Eddie. You can begin by grabbing these bags. Come on, Slim.
Harry takes her arm and ushers her out. Eddie follows with the luggage. Together, the three go downstairs to the Smoky Cafe, where Caribbean sailors sit with pretty women. Slim leads the way as they wind among the tables toward the door. Then she stops.
Steve, do I have time to say goodbye to Cricket?
Sure, go ahead.
Smiling, she weaves through the crowd to the piano and puts her hand on Cricket's shoulder.
Cricket, I came to say goodbye.
What?
We're leaving now. Thanks for everything.
Hey, Slim.
Are you still happy?
What do you think?
Smiling, she wiggles her hips to the rhythm as she walks back to Harry. Grinning at each other, they head out the door. Behind them, Eddie bounces to the music as he brings the suitcases. Cricket smiles and turns back to the piano. Words appear. The End, a Warner Brothers First National Picture. Fade to black.